welcome back to the Bryant Park Project from NPR News. Rachel, one of the cool things, if you're listening to us on satellite radio and you have to get out of your car now and go to work, don't worry about it. You can catch the whole show. It's available online all the time.
Always.
At npr.org/Bryant Park. So you can come back and listen a little bit later on. Now, you know, there's all kinds of news out there. There's news you can use, news that's fit to print, and then there's news that, well, simply belongs in the ramble. Let's do it. All the world's a stage. That's the Shakespearean loophole some Minnesotans are claiming to get around a ban on smoking indoors in public places. Some bars and nightclubs, now they're calling themselves, saying they're having theater nights. And because they want to take advantage of this exemption in the statewide ban, which actually allows smoking by performers in theatrical productions. So here's what's going on. Every employee and customer is now a thespian, an actor.
Funny.
They're in roles. They are the guy chatting or the girl drinking. They're suggested they come in costume of someone who goes to a bar. And that way they can then smoke because they're in character at theater night.
Mm-hmm.
The first so-called performance on February 9th, more than 100 bars across the state have joined the improv nicotine production. But the curtains may soon fall. The Minnesota Department of Health, they're on to them, saying that, you know what, these theater nights are illegal. The Minnesota Health Department Commissioner says bars, theater nights, not covered by the exemption, and warns that her agency will begin enforcing the ban, which means establishments that allow smoking, they face fines up to $10,000.
Can't get anything by the Minnesota Department of Health. So when some people get a little nervous, maybe they take a swig or two of liquid courage, you know, little alcohol. From time to time. Well, apparently, it's tradition in the United Kingdom for finance ministers in the good old days, before they had to give a long-winded budget announcement to Parliament, they did the same thing. They sipped on a little brandy, sherry, whiskey, even a stiff gin and tonic or two to deliver the longest British budget speech of all time. It happened in 1853. Finance Minister William Gladstone took a drink of a throat-soothing mixture of sherry and beaten egg to help him through the marathon that lasted 4 hours and 45 minutes. Another 19th century finance minister, Benjamin Disraeli, he reached his drink of choice, brandy and water, to deliver the shortest budget. He just took 45 minutes. And times have changed, though. Former finance minister and current prime minister Gordon Brown apparently opted for mineral water before his budget speech.
Aw, he wimped out.
Yeah. And the current finance minister, Alistair Darling, will reportedly have a glass of tap water on hand next Wednesday when he delivers his maiden budget speech.
They're
going soft.
I say check it. It could be vodka. It's clear, too. All right, there's an Australian...
Drinking is bad
on the job. Australian car salesman. This guy's got to be regretting saying to a guy, hey, you want to test drive it? Because a 30-year-old Australian man convinced a car dealer in Melbourne to let him test drive this $37,000 Honda Accord sedan. The 30-year-old guy, he drove it 2,000 miles deep into the Australian outback. That is a test drive.
He really needed to test it.
Yeah, that's not what the police thought when they caught up with him 6 days later at a roadblock. Apparently, he was test driving some gasoline as well because he didn't pay for that when he filled up the car. They arrested him without incident, it is noted. He seemed like a legitimate gentleman, said the car yard owner. He stood at the desk right in front of a camera. He wasn't afraid of being photographed or videoed. The man was charged with aggravated unlawful use of a motor vehicle and unlawful possession of property.
Hope he had fun on that joyride. So, $5,000 an hour. This is not what we make here at NPR.
Ew, no.
Close. No cigar. That's what it allegedly would cost you to spend some quality time with the ladies of the Emperor's Club, okay? The feds busted this diamond-studded international call girl ring based in New Jersey that allegedly offered well-heeled Johns, quote, fashion models, pageant winners, and exquisite students for up to $5,500 an hour. Prosecutors say the Johns paid as much as $50,000 for a weekend with a prostitute and had a buyout option
for their
favorite
exquisite
girls.
Student.
exquisite student. These people were overage, which allowed them to book trysts directly with them, with their favorite girls. The feds moved in after one of the prostitutes turned on her pimp. Four people were charged with prostitution and tax crimes. It's always the tax crimes that get people. After allegedly raking in more than $1 million, thanks to a staff of 50 girls and clients in New York, Washington, LA, San Francisco, Chicago, lots of other places, the alleged ringleaders face up to 5 years in prison on prostitution charges and 20 years behind bars for money laundering. There you go.
Exquisite students.
You can't get over that.
I really can't.
Now you know. That's your ramble. These stories and more on our website, npr.org/Brian Park.